Hi, this is Dave Kale. Welcome to this podcast. I've been pondering an email that I recently received. In it, the young salesperson described his most pressing challenge, what we all know as the sales roller coaster. When things go well, he's up emotionally, and when things don't go well, he's down. The swings from up to down were wearing on him, and his real question is one every salesperson must confront and eventually successfully resolve. And the question is, how do I manage myself to keep my emotions up and my energy high? Let me repeat that, because it's a question we all have. How do I manage myself to keep my emotions up and my energy high? And I've often thought that this is one of those fundamental challenges for every salesperson. You know, it's one thing to focus on, you know, closing the sale and presenting to a sufficient number of prospects and other such external tasks. But the real heart of the issue is managing yourself so that you have the energy and the emotional energy to do those things. Now, if you're depressed and listless, it doesn't matter how good you are at closing the sale, you won't have the energy to do it. Managing yourself, you see, is the first challenge. The depth of this challenge is unique, I believe, to the profession of sales. You know, in most other jobs, you know what to do, where to go, when to do it. Not so in sales. All these are your decisions to make. So you have the option, you know, of not being at your first call at 8 o'clock if you choose not to. And you have the option of taking a two-hour lunch. And you have the option of being done at 3 o'clock, at least, you know, until somebody catches up with you. If you have a positive attitude, an optimistic mindset, and are up emotionally, all these decisions are a lot easier to make than if you're dragging around in a state of depression. I know, because, I've lived this. I'm a high energy type A guy, and what that means is the other side of that coin is that high energy type A people are often given to depression. I have the tendency when things aren't going my way to become depressed. Let me tell you a little personal story. In one of my sales jobs, I encountered a slowdown in the number of projects that I had going. Now, it was just a lull in the kind of activity level that I was accustomed to. But it was slow, and I became depressed. And you know, there's this thing that is called the cycle of depression. For me, it went like this. Since I didn't have as much to do, I became depressed. Since I was depressed, I wasn't nearly as active as I had been. Since I wasn't as active, I didn't create much new activity, which meant I had even less to do, which meant I became even more depressed. Yeah, on and on it goes. You see that cycle? So it doesn't take long to become almost paralyzed because of what you're thinking. And that's what happened to me. I became so depressed in this one time I couldn't leave my house. And in that case, it took the intervention of a wise sales manager to lift me out of my depression and get me back to work. But not everyone has that option. And not everyone becomes that depressed. But on a day-to-day basis, the impact of being down can be lethal to your success. So every salesperson has to formulate an answer to the question, how do you get yourself back up when you're down? So let me suggest two options. Number one, change your thinking. You know, our thoughts lead to our attitudes. Here's the way this works. Our thoughts lead to our actions. Our actions lead to our attitudes. And our actions and attitudes lead to our results. It sounds so simple, and in one sense it is. To manage ourselves effectively, all we need to do is control our thoughts. Probably the greatest principle of self-improvement is this: you can choose your thoughts. Now, there's certainly nothing new about that observation. You know, Solomon, writing centuries ago, said, quote, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The Apostle Paul wrote, quote, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, this idea that we can choose our thoughts lead to our actions lead to our attitudes lead to our results, that's an age-old realization. The relationship between thoughts, actions, and results has been recognized probably, you know, since the dawn of mankind. The problem is, of course, doing it. It's one thing to know it, and it's another thing to do it. I think one of the most significant books of the 20th century was called Learned Optimism by Dr. Martin Seligman. In it, he describes his life work. As a research psychologist, Dr. Seligman began by studying helplessness in dogs. In an early experiment, he put dogs in a cage in which they could not escape and subjected them to mild shocks. After some effort to escape, the dogs would give up and lay down. Now, later, he'd put them in a cage from which they could easily walk out and subject them to the same mild shocks. The dogs would just lie down and give up. Surprisingly, they did not attempt to remove themselves from the irritant. They had learned helplessness and hopelessness. Now, in subsequent experiments, Dr. Seligman found a similar behavior in human beings. Put into a room and subjected to irritating noises from which they could not escape, they soon gave up. And then, when they were put into a room with a mechanism that would turn off the noise, they did not try. They also had learned helplessness and hopelessness. Now, from this beginning, Dr. Seligman continued to formulate a thesis he calls Learned Optimism. And it says basically that human beings learn to have either a pessimistic or an optimistic outlook. Now, Dr. Seligman's book, by the way, that's the title, Learned Optimism, contains a self-assessment to measure the degree of pessimism or optimism in the reader. Dr. Seligman's thesis arises from the way people explain negative events to themselves. When something negative happens, as it eventually will, the way you explain it to yourself determines your pessimistic or optimistic attitude. There are three components to what he calls explanatory style. The first component is the degree to which you believe the event will be permanent. Pessimists believe negative events will be permanent, while optimists believe they'll be temporary. So permanent is the first piece. The second piece is pervasiveness. Pervasiveness. Pessimists believe the causes of negative events are universal and they affect everything that they do. Optimists believe them to be specific and limited to the individual circumstance. And the third piece is personal. I'll give you an example here in just a minute. Personal. Pessimists believe that negative events are caused by themselves, while optimists believe that it's not them personally who caused this. So here's how this thing works out in the everyday life of a salesperson. Let's say you visit one of your key accounts, and your main contact announces that the vice president of operations has signed a prime vendor agreement with your largest competitor, and that all of your business will be moved to that competitor within the next 30 days. Now, that's a negative event. As you drive away from the account, you think to yourself, quote, I blew it here. I should have seen it coming. I'm never going to learn this job. I'll blow the next one too. I mismanaged them all. You see, that's a pessimistic explanation of the event. Notice that you've explained it in a way that is personal. You said, I blew it. Your explanation is also permanent. Quote, I'm never going to learn to do this job. And pervasive, I mismanaged them all. That's a pessimistic explanation. Now, stop just a minute. Let's say that's you telling yourself that. Stop a minute and analyze how you feel as a result of it. You probably feel defeated and dejected and depressed and passive. Now, those are not the kinds of feelings you need to energize you to make your next sales call. So let's revisit the situation. Exactly the same thing happened. This time, let's create an optimistic explanation. So again, you receive the same bad news word for word, and as you drive your way, you think to yourself this, quote, they really made a bad mistake this time. It's a good thing the contract is only for a year. That gives me time to work to get it back. I'm glad it was only this account and no others. Now, that's an optimistic explanation, because your reasons, as you explained this event to yourself, were not personal and permanent and pervasive. How do you feel about your result as a result? You probably feel like more energy and hopeful and so on. See the difference? The event was the same. The only difference was the way you explained it to yourself. One set of explanations was optimistic, leading to energy and hope, while the other was pessimistic, leading to dejection and passivity. Now, Dr. Seligman has isolated optimistic behaviors as one of the characteristics of successful people. Duh! Using various techniques he's developed, he's been able to predict elections by analyzing each candidate's explanatory style. The most optimistic candidates most often win the elections. So the implications for you are awesome. If you can improve your style, your explanatory style, and make it more optimistic, you create more positive energy and hope within yourself, no matter how difficult or negative the circumstances are with which you must deal. Learned optimism can be one of your most powerful self-management techniques. It's based on this powerful, powerful principle. Your thoughts influence your feelings and your actions, and you can choose your thoughts. Learning to control and choose your thoughts is a learned skill, just like listening and closing the sale and all the other stuff. Every salesperson needs to gain some mastery over this essential competency. So that's number one. That's one of two ideas here. Here's the second. By all means, act. Now, let me repeat that. So the second idea I have for you is, by all means, act. Not only do our thoughts lead to our actions, but our actions can create emotions, and those emotions can lead to our thoughts. Just try this. Start laughing. Not, no particular reason, just start laughing. Force yourself to laugh. Force yourself to laugh uproariously. Force yourself to laugh for a few minutes. And when you're finally done, note how you feel. If you're typical, you feel pretty good. The laughter generated the feeling. And since you feel good, you're more likely to generate positive thoughts. See, we can create feelings by acting whether or not we feel like it. We can act it, and that action leads to emotions. I'm told that marriage counselors will sometimes advise their clients to act like you're madly in love with your spouse for a few weeks. More often than not, they come back and report a deeper bond with their spouse. See, the action led to the feeling. When it comes to sales, the same principle works for you. By all means, act. Do something, anything. But you get yourself out of your lethargy by acting. As you begin to do something, that action will stimulate you to feel better, which will stimulate you to think more positively, which will stimulate you to be more positive, take positive actions, which will stimulate you to more positive thoughts, etc., etc. It's a cycle. Take control of the cycle. It's exactly the opposite of the depression cycle. This is an optimistic cycle. Let me repeat it. Do something, anything, to get yourself out of your lethargy by acting. This is when you're down. As you begin to do something, that action will stimulate you to feel better, which will stimulate you to think more positively, which will stimulate you to more positive action, which will bring positive thoughts, which will bring positive results. It's a cycle. Learning to manage yourself is one of the core competencies of an effective professional salesperson and I suppose of a mature human being anywhere. The sooner you gain this competency, the more successful you will be. Okay? That's it. Bye-bye.